Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Give me a big wave if you were here last week. Oh, lots of you. That's good. So you would have heard Pastor Ken preach on the screen, yeah? The message called The Legacy of the Trailer. How powerful was that? If you weren't here, you got no idea what I'm talking about. Steve, can you put up that photo? Oh, there it is. There it is. The legacy of the trailer. We're in a building our future season, and Pastor Ken shared a message about how the reality is that 17 years ago, when we first planted the church that is now Nations Church, every single thing we owned as a church fit in that trailer. Isn't that mind-blowing? Just let that sink in for a moment. You saw the Building Our Future clip in news just now. You saw all the buildings. You saw all the campuses. You saw all the, you know, you saw the Playell Street property being built. And it started there. It started there, the legacy of the trailer, which is just such a powerful thought about how we're to steward the seed of God that He places in our hand. Every year since Nations Church began, we take some time in the calendar year and we just think about the future. That's what we do. We think about the future because we don't just want our church to be strong today. Amen. Amen. We don't want something that's going to be a flash in the pan, that's going to last a moment and then fold and be forgotten. We want this church to impact generations. We're thinking about our children. We're thinking about our grandchildren. Who knows? There's no legacy in short. There's actually no legacy in short. We can be amazing today, but if we fold tomorrow, there's no legacy in that. Legacy is only found in long. Legacy is found in the people of God enduring and through faith and patience, the Bible says, inheriting the promises of God, inheriting what God has promised. It's one of the cultures of this church. And Steve, you can put it up. It says, we are about the generations. We're about the generations. We have the future in mind. We're building something now that future generations will inherit. So thank you, Dan Elliott. We'll inherit. That's what it's supposed to say. But it's true. This is who we are. If you're a part of Nations Church now, you got to know this is how we roll. We build the future. We always have. And for as long as Pastor Ken and I are at the helm, we always will build the future for the next generation. We want to leave a legacy of strength. We want to leave a legacy of faith. We want to lead a legacy of a healthy culture, healthy leadership culture, healthy parenting culture, healthy marriage culture, a culture of loving God well and loving people well. And we also want to leave a legacy of buildings. We want to leave a legacy of physical territory that is named and claimed for the purposes of God. It's named and claimed. You know, if the lease were to expire on this Italian club, you know, we would suddenly, Nations Bunbury, become nomadic again. You understand that? We would have to then go and find another temporary space or another temporary building. But imagine if we had our own permanent facility here in Bunbury and in Scarborough, also our other location that doesn't have permanency. Imagine that if we had an incredible facility here in Bunbury, we would ensure that long after we're gone, the name of Jesus is still glorified in this region. We could be dead and buried and in a box and with our Maker, but you know, the lost could still be being found and disciples could still be being made, and God is being glorified throughout the generations. And so every year we have this conversation about building our future, and we take up an offering. We financially give over and above our tithes to ensure that the future is strong. I believe there's a strong sense that God is wanting to do something in Bunbury. Even as I drove in this morning, there was a huge rainbow just landing right on the town center. And I had been praying the whole way down. I was just like, yes, that declares the promises of God over this region, over this center. Prior to being nations, you were called Gateway. And I believe that was such a significant name because it's the gateway to the southwest. There is a harvest field on our doorstep. You know, the greater Bunbury region has nearly 80,000 people. Who knows? That's a massive opportunity for the gospel. That's a huge opportunity for what God wants to do. Bunbury actually has a negative reputation of being the meth capital of WA. But I believe we could turn that reputation around. I believe God could do something so significant here that maybe we could be called the faith capital of WA. I don't know. The Christian capital of WA. Let's believe for it. Let's believe to see God do something with us, because at the end of the day, it starts with us. It starts with us. Who finds that daunting? It starts with us. I think the fact that it starts with us is part of the problem. I think the fact that it starts with us is where we actually start to come a little bit undone, because most of us just feel pretty ordinary. Am I right? And that's why I've called this message Steward the Ordinary. Steward the Ordinary. Because at the end of the day, I think that's how most of us feel, that who we are and that what we have is actually just pretty ordinary. And in theory, we love the sound of being a legacy leaver and a territory taker. And we love the idea of revival in the southwest region. We love it in theory. But then there's the reality. In the same breath, we turn around and think, well, how could I be a part of that? How could I have anything to do with something as significant as that? Because I'm a bit too ordinary. Is it just me? I mean, you know, sometimes we don't think of ourselves as being overly special. We don't think of ourselves as having any overly particularly special gift or talent. We think we're not rich, we're not this, we're not that. How could my life actually make an impact? What could I say? What could I do that would make any sort of difference? Maybe your life right now is crazy. Maybe your life right now you're just so overwhelmed by the challenges of your own life, leave alone thinking about, you know, revival or any big lofty thing like that. Maybe it's just survival mode, getting through day by day. And if it is, there's no judgment because we've all been there. But if we're not careful, we can buy into this idea that we don't have what it takes to leave a legacy because we're just too ordinary. We're too ordinary. And when we think like that, it'll actually impact our behavior. You know, because when we think like that, we don't tend to speak up. When we think like that, we don't tend to share the gospel. When we think like that, we don't tend to walk in faith. When we think like that, we don't tend to dream big dreams and to give and to serve and all those good things, because we really don't think that much of it matters. We really don't think that, and at the end of the day, it's going to make an impact or be significant. So instead of building the future, we just live for the now. I feel like the Spirit of God has sent me here today to tell you that that way of thinking is actually a trap. That way of living is actually a trap. It's a trap of the enemy, because he wants to keep us small, and he wants to keep us limited, and he wants to keep us shut up, and he wants to keep us contained, and he wants to stop us from living a life of significance. And I feel like the Spirit of God wants to expose today the trap of the enemy and break open our thinking. And this is what I want to say to you. Ordinary people are capable of leaving extraordinary legacies. Ordinary people are capable of leaving extraordinary legacies. God is actually in the business of using ordinary people. Hallelujah. Ordinary men and ordinary women, just like you and just like me, God uses them to do extraordinary things. You got to know that ordinary people are God's favorite kind of people. Amen. Amen. He delights in using ordinary people, because when we think about it, there's actually no other type of people. All there is ordinary people. It doesn't matter how famous someone might be. It doesn't matter how big their following might appear or their gifting or whatever. At the end of the day, everyone is just an ordinary person. That preacher that you watch on YouTube, your favorite celebrity. You know what a celebrity is, right? A church celebrity. A Joyce Meyer or Stephen Fetting. It doesn't matter who your favorite one is. They're just ordinary people, because there's no such thing as an ordinary people. Get this, there's only ordinary people who take hold of an extraordinary God. There is only ordinary people who take a hold of an extraordinary God. And this ought to be deeply encouraging. Who's feeling encouraged right now? This ought to be encouraging, because if you're feeling ordinary, if you're feeling like you don't have what it takes, then you're a perfect candidate for God to use. You are perfectly positioned to leave a legacy and to see God do something significant through you. The scripture's full of examples that would prove to us what I'm saying right now. God uses ordinary women and men to do extraordinary things. The people that fill our scriptures are just like you and me. Think about it. Think about David. He was that shepherd boy. Ken preached into him last week. He was that shepherd boy, possibly born in illegitimacy, forgotten by his father. He was ordinary. Think about Joseph. He was cocky. And then he went through hell on earth. Think about Jacob. He was sneaky. Think about Paul. He was a tent maker, but he had a dodgy and murderous past. Gideon was a scared guy. He said, "My family is the least of the least of the least." If you're feeling ordinary, read your Bible. You're in good company. You're in really, really good company. We call them heroes of the faith, but it's not so much that they were great. It's just that they put all their faith in a God who is great, and they allowed him to do something through them as they stewarded their ordinary before him. When you think of Bible characters, you don't get much more ordinary than Peter, right? Love Peter. He had no noble birth. He had no special heritage. Bible tells us that he was a fisherman. And he was the son of a fisherman. And his brothers were fishermen. And all his mates were fishermen. Any fishermen down in the southwest this morning? I imagined so. My husband's a fisherman as well. He loves it. You know, but fishermen of that ancient era, they were known for being tough. They were known for being boisterous. They were like blue-collar workers. They were rough around the edges. And Peter's mostly known. We mostly preach about his stuff-ups, right? How many times he got it wrong. Hey, if you were a disciple rolling with Peter, you would have known that life was like a roller coaster. The guy had high highs, he had low lows, he was impulsive. He pulls out his sword and he chops the guy's ear off. You know, he falls asleep while Jesus had asked him, "Can you stay awake and pray with me?" You know, I've done that to Jesus too. He walks on the water and then he sinks, right? And then it's a rescue operation. Jesus is like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, come on, mate. Up we come." You know, he always like engaged his mouth before he engaged his brain. Do we have any people like that in Bunbury this morning? The Bible says that it was obvious that he was uneducated. It was obvious that he was untrained. I think that's why so many of us like him. Because we can relate to him. We catch glimpses of ourselves in his ordinary. There was nothing at all in him to distinguish him from anybody else. And maybe if it was up to you and up to me to choose who was going to be the pillar of the early church, maybe we would have chosen someone else, not Peter. But Jesus did pick Peter. Jesus did pick this ordinary fisherman. He did. And his ordinary character ends up leaving such a significant legacy. You know, Peter, he became part of Jesus' most inner circle, one of his three closest companions. After the day of Pentecost, Peter was not only leading the first Christians, but he was also leading within the group of apostles. He was leading the other apostles and that foundation of the early church. Peter led thousands of people to Jesus. Just stop and think about that. Peter the fisherman led thousands of people to Jesus. And so we got to ask ourselves, what happened? How did the guy go from ordinary to legendary? You know, how did he go from fisherman to apostle? How did he steward this ordinary life in such a way as to leave a legacy? And I believe there's keys, great keys in Peter's life that people like you and people like me can grab so that we too can steward our ordinary. Are you with me today? We want to live lives of significance, and that's why we learn from him to steward our ordinary. And the first thing that we see out of Peter's life is Peter was faithful to follow. Turn to your neighbor and say, faithful to follow. He was faithful to follow. Matthew chapter 4 was one of Jesus' earliest encounters with Peter. We read out of verse 18. It said, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. A hallmark of Peter's life was that he followed. A hallmark of who he was is that he followed Jesus. Jesus comes to this ordinary fisherman going about his ordinary business and he says, Peter, follow me. And from that moment on, Peter was a man who faithfully followed Jesus. He surrendered his life. He laid down his occupation. He laid down his nets and he followed. He stayed close. For 3 years, he stayed close. And I think there's a key in this for all of us that if we're going to steward the ordinary in our lives, we have to be faithful to follow hard after Jesus, to follow hard and to stay close to him. Maybe it's time to ask ourselves the question, who or what are we actually following hard after in our life? There's a lot of people, Christians included, who are following after things that are not Jesus, following after career paths, following after wealth, following after experiences and relationships and all of these things. But the truth is, if we want to leave a legacy, we have to be of those who follow hard after Jesus. We have no extraordinary capacity in and of ourselves, but when we follow after the extraordinary one, that is when his extraordinary invades our ordinary. That is when his super invades our natural. That is the moment when we get to see him do incredible things through our lives. It's when we follow. Jesus said, abide in me. That's when you're going to bear the fruit. That's when you're going to see it happen. What did he say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gathered his disciples together and he said, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere until you receive the gift of my Father. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He's like, don't you leave until you receive the presence of the Lord. And if that was the instruction to the disciples back then, I don't think it's changed. I think it is an instruction to us as disciples right now. Don't try and do anything without him. Don't try and do anything in your own strength. We can't live significant legacy, leaving lives in our own strength. It doesn't work because the scriptures tell us flesh is only ever going to give birth to flesh. It's the spirit that gives birth to spirit. It's the spirit that gives life. We might try and get ahead financially in our own strength, but who knows, it can be one step forward, two steps back. We try and instill values into our children, but lo and behold, they still rebel. We try and carve out our own purpose. We try and frame our own way, but in our own strength, it just does not work. If we want our lives to count in the kingdom, we've got to be faithful to follow, faithful to stay close, be filled with His Spirit, be filled with His presence, and keep our ordinary in the presence of His extraordinary, so that He can do something extraordinary through us. Amen? Amen. I need a drink. Sorry. Is this helping someone today? I'm preaching myself happy. Hallelujah. I'm preaching my voice hoarse. Second key that we learn out of Peter's life as he stewarded his ordinary was he was faithful to obey. Turn to your neighbor and say, faithful to obey. He didn't demonstrate perfect obedience. We know that. We know that. We know he had his issues, but he had a heart to do the thing that Jesus told him to do. He did have that heart. And I believe that we too, as we steward the ordinary, we've got to be faithful to obey. Faithful to obey. We have to do what He tells us to do and go where He tells us to go and say what He tells us to say. Because obedience, here's the thing, obedience is the key to seeing supernatural capacity of God poured out in your life. Obedience is the key. It's our obedience to the word of the Lord and the heart of the Lord. That is what is going to allow miracles to be released into your life. Do you remember the story of Luke chapter 5 when Peter and his companions, they fished all night and they caught nothing? Remember that? And they washed their nets and they packed them away and they're like, well, look, we're done for the day. And then Jesus comes along and what does He say? He says, boys, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Imagine that moment. Peter would have been like, what the heck? Nothing about that instruction would have made sense to Peter. It would have felt so inconvenient. Have you ever noticed that when God speaks, it's not very convenient? It's not always very convenient. And this was one of those moments. But Peter's response, check this, in Luke chapter 5, verse 5. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Here's that point of obedience. Even though it didn't make sense, even though it in the natural it looked like a waste of time, Peter was faithful to obey. And because of his act of obedience, the miraculous was actually released. They caught so many fish, the scriptures record, that their nets began to break. You realize that that miracle catch, it represented a financial miracle. It represented a miracle of provision. It represented a miracle for a community, not just for an individual. And the whole thing happened because Peter was obedient. He laid down his objections and he was obedient. Just one ordinary fisherman that chose to be obedient to an extraordinary God. Amen. There's a lot of Christians that want the miracle catch, but they don't want to walk in obedience. They want the miraculous to be poured out, but they're not doing the thing God told them to do. Like, you want a breakthrough in the relationship, but you haven't humbled yourself and you haven't forgiven. You haven't released that person. You want the release in finances, but you're not being generous. You're not tithing. You want to see people one to Jesus, but you're not sharing the gospel and so on and so forth. If we're not seeing God move in our lives, maybe it's time to check our obedience, because obedience is the thing, the vehicle through which God releases the miraculous. He releases the supernatural. Doing what God tells you to do is always a good idea. We're a church, we should be saying amen. It's always a good idea. It might not be easy. It might not be convenient. It might not make sense. But do it anyhow, because it's going to unlock something over your life. It's going to unlock the supernatural over your life. And the final way that we see that Peter stewarded the ordinary in his life was that he was faithful to give what he had. He was faithful to give what he had. We read in the book of Acts that Jesus ascends into heaven. The day of Pentecost, it comes and it goes. And Peter, we see Peter, and he is busy spreading the gospel. He is busy doing the work of the apostle. And we stumble across Peter again in Acts chapter 3. And in Acts chapter 3, he encounters a lame man. And we're going to read it together out of verse 2. It says this, it says, "Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where this lame man was put every day to beg for those from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. What I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.'" And many of us know how that story ends. Many of us know what happens next, that lame man immediately received strength into his legs and strength into his ankles, and he got up and he leapt and he praised God, and everybody around was in awe of the miracle that God performed that day. But what I want to draw our attention to in this moment is Peter's words to this man. He said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you." See, he was a guy who was faithful to give out of what he did have. And how many of us faced with the same situation might say something along the lines of, "Silver and gold I do not have, therefore I'm going to keep on walking. Silver and gold I do not have, therefore I'm going to leave it to somebody else. Silver and gold I do not have, and therefore I'm probably not the right person for the job." Are you tracking with me today? We say things like this, but not Peter. He said, like, "Dude, I don't have any money for you, but I'm not going to focus on what I don't have. Can I please tell you about what I do have? I do have the Spirit of God, and out of what I do have, I am going to minister unto you." And so often in life, I believe we can become so fixated on what we don't have that we forget to actually give out of what we do have. We forget to be faithful out of what we do have. Here's the thing. God is not ever going to call you to give an account for what you don't have. But I promise you, he will call you to give an account for what you did with what you do have. What you do have. Don't worry about the Bible college degree that you don't have. Don't worry about the revelation that you don't have. But please steward the revelation that you do have. Don't worry about the breakthrough that you're not walking in yet, or the testimony that you don't have. But are you sharing the testimony that you do have? Don't worry about the finances that you don't have, but are you giving? Are you generous out of what you do have? It actually doesn't matter at all whether it's a lot or a little, because our God does not measure quantity. He measures faithfulness. He measures our hearts. He says, "If you're faithful with little, I'm going to make you faithful over much." Faithful over much. Be faithful to give out of what you have. Peter writes this. I love that the fisherman has given us the books of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I love that. Don't you love that? This ordinary man, this fisherman, writes to us, and he says in 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11, he says this. He says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." What's he saying? He's saying, just give out of what you got. Just be faithful with the gift that you've got. Whatever gift you have, use it. Whatever grace you have, steward it. The focus is not on what you've got. The focus is on how you use it. Don't get wound up on what you're not. Just steward who you are. Steward the ordinary person that you are, because you are who you are is all God needs. Who you are is all he needs. He's just looking for ordinary people that are going to be faithful to follow, faithful to obey, faithful to give out of what they have. These are the kind of people that God wants to use to do extraordinary things on the earth. Amen. Singers and musos, you can come back and join me. Thank you, Jesus. I think about the 17-year history of Nations Church, and when I reflect on some of the things we've accomplished, some of it's actually been quite extraordinary. When I reflect on the building that we're currently building in Maori, you look at that project and you go, wow, that's extraordinary, right? Is it just me? I think it's pretty extraordinary. But the only way that these things have come about is because ordinary people like you and like me took a hold of an extraordinary God. There's no superstars at Nations Church. There's no celebrities, praise the Lord. There's just thousands, hundreds and thousands of nameless and faceless people who over the years have just been faithful. They've just been faithful. They've just stewarded their ordinary lives. They've just been faithful. And in their faithfulness, His extraordinary capacity has actually overwhelmed our ordinary. And in their faithfulness, we've seen Him do wonders through us. And when He does it, all glory goes to Him. Amen. When He does it, when the people of God understand that it's not me, it's God. It's not my greatness, it's His greatness. When He does it, there's no room for men to take the glory. There's no room for a church to take the glory. All glory goes to Him. And I know that He is a generational God, and what He has done before, He wants to do again. What is done there, He wants to do here. He wants to do it again. He wants to do it again. He wants to do it for this region. He wants to do it for our children. He wants to do it for our grandchildren. In a couple of weeks, you, Bunbury, will be joining for the very first time the Nations family as we give to build the future. I want to tell you, it's a lot less to do with money and it's a lot more to do with heart. Amen? God's looking for faithful hearts, faithful people following and obeying and giving and serving out of what they do have, because right now the baton is in our hands. Right now the baton for your family is in your hands. The baton for this region is in our hands collectively. Are we going to steward what we have? Are we going to live in such a way that God can take these ordinary lives and do something extraordinary for His glory? Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.